John chapter 1 and verse 1 through 14. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You for who You are. God, thank You that You would come and leave the glories of heaven to be mocked and ridiculed, and that we could see a living example of what You desire, what pleases You. Lord, I pray that You'd help us with those things. Lord, help us to take something away from Your Word here tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible starts in this passage. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." If you look at other versions, they change that. They'll say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." That's different. Here we see, as we look at this, the Word, and I don't think I'm revealing any great thing. The Word here is Jesus Christ Himself. And there's a word that goes along with this, Jesus Christ being God. It's called His deity. That's His divinity, the nature and essence of being the supreme being. And here, this is what we see. In other books of the Gospels, we start with an earthly lineage. Outside of Mark being the servant. But Matthew, we see where he started from, and Luke, we see where he started from. Again, the connection between him and the kingdom. And then in Luke, the connection between him and man. But here, we see his divinity, his deity, if you will. Where do we start? Well, there's no childhood story here. It goes all the way back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. That phrase shows up just a few times in Scripture. Probably most familiar, Genesis 1:1, right? You can turn there if you need to. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." The Bible tells us, excuse me, in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we're going to see not only Christ's divinity, but also His hand in creation tonight. That phrase shows up again in 1 John chapter 1. Go there, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled," look at now, "of the Word of life." So in 1 John chapter 1, it almost connects Genesis and the book of John, and it says, hey, the one we saw, the one we were able to actually physically touch, John touched Christ. We talked this morning about how we all have been touched by Christ, but I have not handled Christ. John did. He said that. And he references to Him as the Word of life. The Word. That's what we read in John chapter 1 and verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word." In the beginning was Christ. When it all was there, Christ was there. Christ was not necessarily created. Jesus didn't show up. And yes, he showed up in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1. But he has always been. And some people have a hard time with that. You know what they're going to have a hard time with also? The Word. They're going to have a hard time with the Scripture. If they don't believe that Jesus Christ has always been, then this book is not going to make very much sense at all. The Bible tells us that He is the Word. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Whose glory? The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you understand what Jesus Christ was able to come down and do? Now, we've had some prophets that did some amazing miracles in the past. We see Elijah and Elisha and the things that they do. Isaiah, the words that he says, and the prophecy of Isaiah about Christ. And surely only God's hand could be upon that. But the Bible tells us about Christ that if we were to list all of the things that he did, no book could contain. Why? Because he did so much. And here the Bible tells us that he showed us who God really was. Now, we have the Old Testament character of God, and we understand that. But the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh. God put on the cloak of flesh. As we're going to say later on, when he became man, he did not become less God. He just became man. Look at 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. First John 5, 7 says this, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? What does it say? One. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. We have the Trinity here. Although the word Trinity doesn't show up in your Bible, the word Godhead does and references that. And for our finite minds, you know what? Unless I can understand it, I don't believe it. Oh, then you're not going to believe a lot of things. Because my finite mind has a hard time comprehending certain things. Like what? Like eternity past. Because everything I know has a beginning and an end. One day there was a seed and the seed grew and now we have these beautiful flowers. One day there was a tree, the tree grew, we cut it down, turned it into this. But God has always been. That hurts my brain when I think about that. Say, how could God be three entities yet all the same and all? I don't know. I can't connect all the dots. I just believe what it says. I just believe what it says. And the Bible tells me that there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 19. I have a question for you tonight. Is the book of Revelation a literal book or a spiritual book? As in, is the book of Revelation, are those things literally going to happen? Or is that talking about maybe a spiritual time that these are maybe examples or illustrations of other things? Does anybody, what would you say? Literal. Right? The book of Revelation, literally a third of humankind will die at one time. Revelation, you read Revelation, there's some powerful things coming. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 13 says this. Actually, let's go back to verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. The Bible describes him as his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, the Bible says. And his name is called the Word of God. Say, who is that? That's Jesus Christ himself. On a white horse with a crown upon his head. Oh man, that's going to be a scene. Jesus Christ is the Word. You know, God uses words to reveal himself to man. You know, there's three different ways that we can use communication. We can have oral, right? We can tell stories. As a kid, we were just talking about this, and there's this, I forget the name of the scientific phenomenon of it, but it is, you have a memory of something, not because you actually remember it, but because it's been told to you so many times that now it is your, it's in there. Like, we have kids' stories of, you know, your parents have told you stories about things that you did as a child. And you can retell those stories, although you don't remember them, you almost feel like you remember them. And we have the oral word. But in addition, we also have the printed word. God has chose to preserve his printed word. With Christ, we are not subjected to oral traditions, nor are we limited to wordless photographs. It's not like we just have a picture of a man nailed to a cross and we have to fill in the blanks. No, he told us exactly what happened. And he has recorded it in the book that you hold in front of your hands, the Word of God. It is recorded by words that he is Christ. And he became the Word to bring further definition of even a deeper understanding of God himself, as we saw in verse 14. Jesus Christ. That we could behold the glory of God. For us to see God in his purity and his holiness, our corruptible bodies could not handle that. So he cloaked himself. No less glory, but just made it a little less visible. But yet through his actions and his teachings, as we talked about this morning, a great explanation of it. So what we hold in our hands is the Word of God. It is the story of Christ. The whole Old Testament is setting us up for the Messiah. So how so? Ever read through and see some of that stuff and Exodus? Why'd you need a lamb? Why did it have to be a perfect, spotless lamb? Well, because Jesus Christ was going to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And we look at symbol after symbol, parallel after parallel throughout the Old Testament. Now, through the eyes of the New Testament, you know what? A good way to read your Bible is not from Genesis to Revelation, but from Revelation back through, and it gives us better understanding. I understand who that Lamb is, having read John chapter 1. Do you understand that? As I read through the Old Testament, it gives me insight into the... Wait, read through the New Testament, it gives me insight into the Old Testament. The Word of God. Abraham takes Isaac up under the mountain, and he says, surely God will provide himself a lamb. Oh, man. Genesis chapter 3, in verse 15, we are told that, they were already set. Look at Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says this in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Already setting up Christ. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. How many of you have ever, maybe not show of hands, maybe you just agree in your heart as to not incriminate yourself, but have somewhat exaggerated a story before? And each time you tell it, the fish gets a little bigger. You understand what I'm saying? We went fishing and we caught a... And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And the waves were larger and larger. And the fight was longer and longer. And I'm so glad that we don't have to worry about an exaggeration of who Jesus was. Did he really, come on, walk on water? No, he recorded it for us. We have the Word of God. And as we continue, go back to John chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, we'll start again. John 1:1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There they were, together. And the Bible says this in verse 3. You cannot, listen now, you cannot separate verse 3 from verse 1. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33. I don't know if you write notes in your Bible. Maybe if you and you spend $100 and got one of those real nice wide margin Bibles. Anybody have one of those? And you have no notes in there. It's just a lot of white area. Maybe outside of John chapter 1 and verse 3, you write. Well, make sure you want to. But take a look at this in Psalm 33 verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Do you see that? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He spoke, and things came into being. It's not like He spoke, and they just obeyed. He spoke and created. Unbelievable. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Another verse you can write in the margin of John chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, look at these beautiful words. I love these words. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things. Look at comma, by whom also He made the worlds. Well, I like those verses. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? That's John 1:14. The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things were created. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him all things consist. Who? Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation. Yes, Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 9. A little Bible study tonight as we look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. As I had a great teacher in Bible Institute of the book of John. And he would say at the end of every class, and we did not even begin to scratch the surface, right, Mr. Parrott, of what is in here. You want to keep studying this stuff out. There is so much to be said of Christ, the Word, His creation. I want to show you a few things here tonight. The Bible says that He created all things. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Look at now. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Go back to John chapter 1. Might want to just leave a little piece of paper in John chapter 1. Might be easier for you. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? That's Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Bible tells us this: all things were made by Him. And He didn't just say it one time. We see it from verse after verse, section after section. If it's talking about the preeminence and the power of Christ, somehow it's connected to His creation. It says it so many times. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. As we continue, verse 4 and 5, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And that light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I don't know why, but there is a fear of darkness. Last night we were trying to leave, and there was some here talking basketball, Brother Rodell, and in the hall. I don't know what was going on. Something going on. I don't know. Brother Rice, were you here at that point? Okay, very good. So for a moment, just to indicate I think it's about time to go, just turned off the lights. It was about a second. I don't know why, but we're afraid of the dark. No reason to be afraid of the dark. Same things that are in the dark as in the light. If we turned off the lights in here, it would be very dark. But the same person that would be sitting next to you in the light is sitting next to you in the dark. Nothing more, nothing is added. No, that's when the monsters come out from underneath the chairs. But for some reason, we have this natural fear of darkness. Now, if you're an adult, you get over that, I think, for the most part. Maybe some people still sleep with the lights on. That's fine. That's up to you. But the Bible says, In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The very first creative act that God had, back in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says this: And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. No matter how dark it is, you turn on a light, light defeats darkness every time. The darker it is, well, the more victory light has. You know, it's funny how your eyes adjust at night. Lately, with the moon being so bright, and then snow on the ground, you can almost see clearly at night. It's really neat. The other night, there was a ruckus outside of our window at about 1:15, 1:30. I look out, and there's like 8 deer just standing there. I could see them, and they couldn't see me, I guess, but just watching them. It was like someone had a light on them. It was really neat. Light defeats darkness. That's why Jesus Christ called Himself the light of men. He came to defeat darkness. The very first act of creation was that of light. And Christ shed light upon all men, it says. Look at John chapter 3 and verse 19. Hold your hand in John chapter 1. John chapter 3 and verse 19. We're looking at this thought that Christ shed light upon all men. John chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In John chapter 3 and verse 20 it says, For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I don't think we need to expound on that. I think we understand what it's saying there. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Why are some people so afraid of Christ? Because he's light. And he's going to reveal to them who they are. Well, I'd just rather live in darkness than to not have to deal with that. But you can't come to Christ and deal in darkness because he is light. John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8 and verse 12 says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, I am the light of the world." A verse we looked at this morning. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Do you understand that when we follow Christ, we are no longer walking in darkness? Psalm 119 verse 11. Nope, 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We cannot walk according to the scriptures. We cannot walk according to thy word and walk in darkness. The Bible says that the word of God is light unto us. Jesus Christ is light unto us. They're synonymous. The word and light. Look at John chapter 12 and verse 46. The Bible says this in John 12, 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." I think we looked at it last week. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hey, when you come into Christ, you have nothing to be worried about anymore. You don't have to hide. You don't have to abide in darkness anymore. You're set free from that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Christ sheds light upon all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. "God, for God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts. The same God that made light out of nothing can reach down and touch the center of our being, our heart, to give the light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that key that brings light and understanding, because he is the Word. And the Word gives us knowledge of who God is. We know nothing about God outside of his Word. I mean, yes, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes. We can look at his creation. But surely Jesus Christ, the Word, is that gap, bridge that gap. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Last thought about this. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. I know it's verse heavy tonight. It's kind of like a little Bible study tonight, a verse by verse study of John chapter 1. We'll go a little bit quicker. We'll kind of skip ahead a little bit. John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." If we read in the book of Revelation, one day we're going to walk into New Jerusalem. Man, I'm excited to see what New Jerusalem looks like. And you know what? There's no sun. No, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is at the center and that his glory is the light that shines New Jerusalem. Because he's light. He sheds light upon all men. You know, no one ever, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's go back there. John 1, 4. "In him was, not only was he light, but he is life." No one dies in the presence of Christ. Nowhere in Scripture do we see anybody die. Say, how about the man on the other men on the cross? John chapter 19. Go there. Say, I just got back to John chapter 1. Well, that's why you keep your little marker there for a quick turn. John chapter 19 and verse 32. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first. Why'd they break his legs? To expedite the death of them. Yes? Because how they could sustain life is they would push up on their feet to, because really the crucifixion, maybe you would bleed out, but you would really suffocate because of the weight on your lungs. You couldn't breathe. So you'd push up to the amount of pain, though, on your feet. You couldn't stand it. It was an awful way to die. So they would come and they would break your leg so you can't push up anymore. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified. Remember, there were three that were crucified that day. So they hit the one and they hit the third. And then they come to Jesus. And they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead. See, no one dies in the presence of Christ. Not even the thief on the cross. Remember, go back to John chapter 11 quickly. John chapter 11, we see Lazarus, right? And what does Martha say unto Jesus in verse 21? Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. True. He couldn't have died around Christ. Why not? Because Christ is life. In him was life. And life was the light of men. Jesus Christ, the Word, which brings light and life. When I was 10, I've told you this many a times, sat in that weird-looking Sunday school room, makeshift Sunday school room, and someone shared with me the gospel. And it gave me eternal life. When we sit down and try and persuade a person to consider eternity for their soul, what do? We quote scripture verses. Why? Because this holds the key to eternal life. Jesus Christ. Both the Word brings light and understanding to us, but it also gives us life. Jesus Christ, the life. He was the true light, it says in verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. I think we studied this towards Christmas time. Remember Malachi chapter 4, where it says that he was the Son of Righteousness? Look at Psalm 19. I know it's a little dry material, and the furnace is working, so it's nice and warm and cozy, and we've had a long week, and no school this week. Alyssa, do you have school this week? No. Are you doing anything special? No? Nothing? Not doing English, though, right? How exciting about that. Angel, are you going to school this week? No? All right. Your parents are asking us to open school this week so you could come for a couple days. Right? All right, very good. That might not have been true. Psalm chapter 19. Let's read 7 verses here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I love these verses. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I was pulling up tonight, and anybody see the little sunset out here? Man, that was nice. Day unto day. The day reminds me that there is a God. At night, you go out and you look up into the heavens and go, surely there is a God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. You walk into the jungles of Africa and you look around and go, yeah, there's a God here too. Their line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit from the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Creation takes away all excuses. You know, Job had no Bible, yet he had a great understanding of who God was. Can I show you a few verses in the book of Job? Job chapter 1 and verse 21. See, the Bible says, both day and night, you cannot quench the speech or the sound or the voice that there's a creator. You can't help but look around and say, there is a divine creator. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, it says, and he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So how could he say such things? How could he know that God is good all the time? Because he just looked around him. Look at Job chapter 19 and verse 25. Job knew the Lord with no Bible. Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Do you see what he's saying? No knowledge of Christ, no knowledge of any of that. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Look at Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Job 28:28 says, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job knew God. How was that? Because looking around gives us insight into the true light. Look at, go back to John chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You have to consciously say and tell yourself that there is no God. Because the true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So for a person to deny the existence of God, he has to look around and consciously train himself to say, no way. Because his first thought is, there's a creator. That's what Jesus Christ does. He is the true light. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And look at these sad words. And the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. What sad verse. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Aren't you thankful that salvation is simple? It's simply believing in Jesus Christ. Then we come to verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. How do we get salvation? It's through God. It is not through, look, which were born not of blood. It's not through your family. Well, my last name is, or I have the pedigree of, and I'm sorry, not enough to get you there. Not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. Hey, your good works isn't enough to get you there. It's of God, nor of the will of man. It's not something I could do. I can't say, all right, God, let Stephen in. He's a pretty good guy. Like on the weekends. He's a good guy on the weekends. No. I can't do that. It's not my will. It's God's will. It's from God himself. And look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. As I said at the beginning, Jesus Christ did not become any less God. He just became man also. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And we're almost done. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God, manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. That's Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. Say, if I could somehow make the Bible, God's Word, into a person, what would it look like? Jesus. The fulfillment of the entire law. The execution of God's judgment. And say, how was He the execution of God's judgment? Because by Him are we going to be compared. Do you understand? We're not going to be compared amongst ourselves. We're compared against Christ Himself. Perfect. Well, that's not fair. That's what we get in exchange for our sin. We exchange our evil deeds, our unrighteousness, and we take on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We're not standing in our own righteousness before God. We'll stand in Christ's righteousness. That's a step up. As God, He was able to turn water into wine, heal the sick, made the blind to see, forgive sins. But as man, He faced temptation. He was spit upon. He was mocked and crucified. Say, that doesn't make sense to me. Ever drive down 490 at like 5 o'clock? It's been a long day at work. And like one of those little smart cars like cut you off. My truck has 256,000 miles on it. It's a Dodge Ram pickup. It has a 5.7 liter V8 Hemi engine. A little car cuts in front. I have nothing to lose, I think. If I could, ba-boom. Imagine if you could. Imagine when the soldier comes up and spits upon your face. And you could. Imagine when you're mocked. Behold the King of the Jews. And they take that reed and they beat the crown of thorns upon His head. And you could call down. Imagine when the nails are going through your hands and you could stop it all with a breath. You could say something to them and they would just disintegrate as dust. Remember when they got him in the garden? And they say, "Are you?" And He says, "I am He." And they fell over. "I'm sorry, can I help you up? Did you fall down?" Peter takes out a sword and cuts off his ear. "Hold on, let me put that back for you." Seemed to have dropped something there. Imagine if He could have stopped it all. But He couldn't save Himself and you. So God put on the form of a man, endured temptations, being spit upon, being mocked and crucified to save your soul. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Bible says, and we beheld His glory. We saw a little bit of the glory of God when Jesus walked this earth. So how do I know about it? Because He preserved it in His Word. It's not just a verbal story passed down from generation to generation. No, it's written and preserved perfectly in the book that you hold in your hands tonight. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God tonight? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your Word. Lord, forgive us for not giving more attention to it. God, thank You that it is light and life. For without it, I'd have no Redeemer. God, thank You for putting on the cloak of flesh and enduring such trials for my sin. Lord, I love You tonight. Lord, forgive me for not representing Your name like I should. Lord, I pray You'd help us to hide Your Word in our heart. Help us to live as ambassadors that would please You. Lord, thank You for all that You've created for us. Lord, I look forward to heaven. Watch over us now. Protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.